everybody is an expert or becoming an expert at something. As parents, we become experts on our children. You can pretty much predict, because you spent enough time with your children, exactly how they're going to respond when you say, it's time to get up and make your bed. I mean, you know, some of the kids are going to go, and some of them are going to go, yay. But you know, because you've spent time with them, you've learned what to expect. If I were to ask you in this room, and we've done this at smaller conferences, what are you an expert at? We had one gal say, I'm an expert at baking. And her husband goes, yep, I mean, she bakes the best cinnamon buns, you know, he's just really good. Another guy was an electrician. He was just expert at wiring things up. What were some of the other
plumbing,
ones?
Plumbing, carpentry.
The range is huge. But the thing is that experts are not born experts, are they? I mean, can you imagine Picasso's first painting? It might have been good. Well, his last paintings weren't all that great. But let's pick a different example. Actually, you know what's really wild is I was an art major in college, and Pablo Picasso could paint the most realistic paintings that looked like photographs when he was younger. Believe it? He learned a skill and learned to be very good at it. He learned how to draw. He learned to be realistic in his drawings. And then he took that and developed his own style. There are a lot of people, you look at kids these days, and they look at the NBA players. And they look at them and they go, oh, they're earning millions of dollars. I want to be like them. You know, I want to be like LeBron James. And they don't realize the thousands of hours of practice and working out it took to get there. They see the end result, and they think that's what they want. They don't realize what it costs. We've become, over time, experts, and so will you, on raising future adults. Because that's what we're doing. We are not raising children. We are raising future adults. But we want to talk about how we've become expert in a few areas. And the goal is not to brag on us, but to encourage you to look at areas of your life where God may be saying, you know, you need some improvement. And to be willing to embrace the struggle, the change that's going to come, because you know as a result of working through this, you can become better, you can become an expert, you can have these skills that will become blessings to others.
So experts have tools. They usually have resources. They have tools to help them be good at what they do. Do you want to go first?
No, you go first.
Okay, I'm going to go first. This here is very beat up and falling apart. Okay, it's called Teach Your Child to Read in 100 Easy Lessons. Is anybody familiar with that in here? Okay, this we started homeschooling way back when it wasn't legal in all 50 states. And this book is what I used to teach my kids to read. And it worked great. We have 5 kids for the first one. But the second one was really struggling. And it got to the point where she was in tears with reading. And I realized, okay, this talks about sounds. It introduced to read, you need to know the phonograms, right? So the letter A makes 3 sounds, a, a, ah, right? In this book, it introduces a as the first A sound. It says, this is the letter A. It's going to teach you a, and it uses the word and, okay? Then later on in the book, it says, now this is the letter A. It makes the sound A, as an 8. And my daughter's like, ooh, crying. She's like, which one is it? You know? And I stood there and I went, oh my gosh. This tool is not working. I need something different. So I went and I got the Spalding phonograms and I'm the teacher. I memorized all the Spalding phonograms. So then I tried again. I took her through the book again. And I said, this is the letter A. It makes 3 sounds, a, a, ah. Today, we're going to learn about a, the first sound that it makes. All of a sudden, she was like, I can do this. Okay? It was like, this is a puzzle, but I can do this. Do you know that we found out years later that this sweet, precious girl had severe dyslexia? And so that's why she was having trouble reading. But I took it slow. I figured out another way to use the tool to help her decode stuff. She did not read till she was 11 years old, but she did, and she caught up fast. When she figured out how to decode everything, there was no stopping her. And now she works at a bookstore. How ironic is that? Okay, and she sells books to people. And what's funny is the manager at this bookstore knew Becky loved the children's books because we have hundreds of them in our house, all the picture books. She knows all. She can find a book for every parent that comes in there looking for a resource for their child. And so he said, Becky, can you do story time on Saturday? She goes, no, I'm dyslexic. He goes, what? I'm dyslexic. Oh, you mean you're dyslexic. Yeah. She even messed up the word. Okay. So she's up in our booth, and she's an awesome gal. And so we're going to give you some tools today that we believe are going to help you do your job better.
But see, every tool, hammer, I would bring my big hammer, but I was afraid it wouldn't get through security when we flew. But every tool has rules or guidelines that go with it so that you can use it most effectively. If you use it according to the rules, you get a reward. You get whatever it's designed to do comes out well. So this is a hammer. I'm going to kind of do remedial here. A hammer, right? Hammer is one of the oldest tools in mankind's history. They started off as rocks, and then they put a little handle on them and tied them with some sinew from an animal they killed. And they use these hammers for all kinds of things. But to use a hammer properly, well, you could use it for a lot of things if you didn't know the rules. I mean, right? If I had more hair, it could be used as a, you know, I mean, it could be used for a lot of things. But to use a hammer properly, you have to know how to hold it. You don't hold a hammer up here because that doesn't give you much leverage. You hold the hammer, and you don't hold it this way either. You hold a hammer by the handle. You don't swing with your whole arm or you'll miss. You hold a hammer and you use your wrist. You take a couple of sample swings, and then you hit the nail, hopefully, and you pound it in.
And if there's some carpenters out there, you can come give us lessons later on.
But the point is, every tool that we use, whether it's a book, whether it's a heavy piece of machinery, every tool has rules. And as we follow the rules and discover the rules, you'll get the jewel. And the jewel will cause you to become an expert. And what we're looking at is, as parents, is there are challenges. As kids, there are challenges. And we want to not run from them, but we want to look at them as an opportunity to improve our skills and to become experts and to get the blessing that comes with being an expert.
Okay.
So we're going to cover three tools that we have found. And the goal, again, is to not say you need to do these, but to look at different areas of your life where you can receive the blessing by working through and learning to manage some tools.
Okay, so the first tool we're going to talk about is money management, a budgeting system. And everybody needs to have a system to do this. You can't just have stuff in your brain that says, well, we're pretty good. We don't spend as much as we earn, so we're okay. We have an old-fashioned paper tracking system. We've tried it on the computer, but we like this one better because we can take it with us. If we're driving in the car, I can work on it in the car. If we're at any of our kids' activities when they used to have practices for different things, we would be able to sit and do it there. Lots of things. The simplest way to do it, that's one way on paper. There's another way, which is cash envelopes. And if you take the most commonly spent overspent categories such as food, clothing, and recreation, and you put those in cash, that will be a help for you so that you know that when the money is gone, you stop spending. Very quick, easy way to get control of certain areas that you're working with.
So that's the tool. A budget is a tool. A lot of people think a budget is a noose. I don't think a budget is a noose. I think a budget is a tool. There are also, you can go online. You can use envelopes.com. That's a tool. You can use mint.com. Now, if I have the greatest tool in the world, if I have the most expensive hammer, but I leave it in my toolbox and I never use it, it doesn't do me any good. And this is what happens with a lot of people with budgets, is they make a budget at the beginning of the year and they leave it sit. It's not a tool. It's just a paperweight. And so you have to use this tool properly, you have to follow the guidelines, the rules.
Okay, so for example, it has to be reconciled regularly, like Steve said. So it can be every 2 weeks when a paycheck comes, it can be twice a month, but it's important that you reconcile and regroup and look at where you are financially. Because financial stress is the last thing we need to have as homeschool families. There's enough other things in life to cause stress. Finances don't need to be one of those. Let's see. Every expense, every time we make a purchase, we think in our minds, what category of our budget does this come out of?
Dave Ramsey says, every dollar has a name. In other words, if you go to spend something, it has to come out of a predetermined category. And this isn't designed to be restrictive. It's designed to protect you from spending your house payment on toys or your house payment on repairs. It's really designed to help you be free.
We had a session earlier yesterday that went through this in detail, so we don't have time this morning to go through it. But I just encourage you all, if you do not have something like this in place, it is a critical tool for you to have. This book, our first book, goes into detail for how to set that up, even if you have no money in the bank. And if you're one of those people that are living paycheck to paycheck, and you know, you're making it, you've got a lot of debt, but you're feeling like debt is always going to be there, then we encourage you, there's a better way to live. And I know a lot of you that we've talked to are super frugal. You have an awesome, very financially conservative group in this state. So if that's you, then you're in a great place, and you just need to fine-tune what you're doing.
Here's the jewels of money management. This is where you can go if you choose to take this area on and become an expert at it. One, you're going to have peace. There's not going to be very many surprises. As we worked through having our budget when we initially started, we had one crisis and a car broke down and we didn't have enough money to repair it. But we worked through that, and after that we learned how much money we needed to save for car repairs. And it's amazing when you plan out 90% of your expenses how few emergencies there are. The problem with most budget systems is they plan for about 10 or 20% of life, and there's 80% emergencies, and that's hard to handle. But you'll have peace. You'll have confidence. We started our business in 2003 after I'd left a job that I'd been at for 11 years. We saved a lot of money. We had it backed up in a savings account. And we were able to start with confidence, not with debt, not with worrying, after two jobs after that job went away. So it gives you this confidence to go on and do things. It helped us set amazing goals and accomplish them, like paying off a house in 9 years on an average income of $33,000. That doesn't happen by accident. That happens because we hate debt, we had a system to manage our money, and we just attacked it with a vengeance while still meeting all of our other priorities. It passes on a heritage to our kids. This car is a car that our daughter Becky bought, paid cash for after saving for it for 5 years, turned around 3 years later and sold it for more than she paid for it. They have learned the value of budgeting, management, and gotten the jewels for it. So how would your life improve if you took this area of money management and you said, God, I think this is an area you're working on in my life. I really don't want to be in the same place next year as I am now. I want to learn how to use this tool according to the rules and get the jewel for it. Because you can pay off houses, you can have peace in your family, and that's where we want to encourage you to go. Now, if you go to our website, moneysmartfamily.com/CHEO, we have a sheet that you can use to start your budget there. It's an income-outgo sheet. It's in Excel and a regular Word format, and that's where you start your budget. But let's go on to the next area. There were two men, Charles Schwab and Ivy Lee. Charles Schwab was the president of Bethlehem Steel. This was in the about 1910. He was the president of Bethlehem Steel. He wanted his company to produce better, his executives to be more efficient, and he was pushing them to really take charge of their schedules and manage things better. He put out some memo that said he would be willing to pay just about any amount of money if someone could help him do this. Well, the guy on the right, Ivy Lee, was a PR person, but he was also an efficiency expert. And he took up the challenge, and he met with Charles Schwab, and he said to him, I would like to meet with each one of your executives for 15 minutes. And I guarantee you, if they take my advice, they will improve their productivity by about 300%. Charles Schwab said to him, what is this going to cost me? He's a businessman. He's got to evaluate whether giving all this time for his executives to Ivy Lee is going to be worth it. He said, don't pay me anything unless it works, and at the end, you pay me what you think it's worth. So Ivy Lee met with each manager. He gave them, he said, what I want you to do at the end of each day is make a list of six things that you want to accomplish the next day. Just six things. And I want you to start at the top. I want you to prioritize it. Start at the top of the list and work on that one thing until you get it done. Work on the next thing until you get it done. Work on the next thing. If you don't finish your list at the end of the day, you take the bottom items that you haven't finished, put them at the top of your list, and start over again the next day. They kind of looked at him like, is that it? I can do this. He studied. Charles Schwab studied the results after 3 months, and he wrote a check to Ivy Lee. Now, I want to give you a little background, okay? This is 1910. The average worker earned $2 a day. $2 a day, $12 a week, $624 a year. And they were usually working 6 days a week. Charles Schwab wrote a check that was the equivalent of 34 years worth of full-time labor for one worker to Ivy Lee. He wrote a check for $25,000 for that simple bit of advice because it so impacted his leadership and his company. Now, that is, he gave them a tool, he gave them simple rules, and they saw a huge bonus, a huge reward for following the rules.
So how do you manage your time? As homeschool moms, that is critical if we want to accomplish a mountain of things to do every day. It can be any one of a number of items, from keeping track of things on your phone, a wall chart, a computer, a date book. We use date books religiously. I've only lost mine like twice in my life, and I know within 2 hours that it's missing, and I can usually find it right away. So you need to have some sort of tool where you keep lists, where you keep appointments, where you keep dates. It's critical. For us, we have a family staff meeting every Sunday night.
So these are the rules. We've got the tool, but if you don't have rules to use the tool, it's not going to be effective.
And because we have 5 drivers and 3 cars, it's important that we get together and we know what everybody is doing for the week. And when they were younger, it was real important so that we knew about birthday parties and needing presents or supplies for different things, sports that they were involved in. So they bring their work schedules. Our daughter just went through physical therapy. She brought that schedule. They bring their weight training schedules. We talk about chores. We talk about whether we're doing cooking day, cleaning day, any parties, events, you name it, we talk about it.
This is what it looks like. It's really high tech. We sit around the coffee table in our living room and we do schedules.
Right. But it has created so much efficiency in our home. And what's really awesome, one time a media person called. It was actually somebody from People Magazine. And they called and my daughter answered the phone and they said, is your mom there? And my daughter said, no, they're out of town. But she looked in the date book. She said, they will be home on this day at this time. And she said, okay, great. Thanks for letting me know. Are you the one that has a lot of money in the bank? And my daughter said, yes, I'm that one. So what's really cool is the rules can help you be efficient with the tools. The tools of time management, I will tell you right now, the jewels of time management. Our family feels like a team. We aren't just a group of people living in a house. And I know for homeschoolers, that's not as unique as for the rest of the culture that we live in. But building your family as a team is so critical. We've worked together on things like remodeling our backyard, doing a bridal shower for my oldest son's wife, We had a big birthday party for Abby when she was 18.
This was last year.
Right.
We started the remodeling project in December in anticipation of our son's wedding in May. So it was this, we had to timeline out everything, and everybody had jobs. We were bringing in helpers to do different things. And what was cool is the kids knew the schedule. We all worked together, and we got the yard landscaped. We did the rehearsal dinner. Then we had a graduation party. Then we had, what was the other thing? Graduation party.
A birthday party, rehearsal dinner, all that.
And it all happened on schedule. And we didn't hire a lot of outside contractors, just a few, and we did the work together. It was an incredible jewel for managing our time.
So managing your time helps you to keep your priorities, and it helps you to accomplish more. And the awesome thing is when people call us and ask us if we can do something, a lot of times we already know if we've done schedules whether that's going to fit in our life for the next couple of weeks. And we could say, I'm really sorry. We have all these other things that all these other balls that we're juggling, we can't fit it. Or we could say, you know what, I can't give you an answer right now. I will discuss it with our family staff meeting, and I will get back to you.
So, you know, I know this sounds kind of cold and not really heartless, but if you look at running your family like a business, your money management turns into, is our business turning a profit? And are we managing it like a business would, where we pay attention to our business? Do you have an accounting department? Yeah, maybe we do. Are you managing your time? Do you have staff meetings at businesses to be more efficient? You bet you do. Well, do you do that with your family? And if not, why? And if yes, how can you do it better so that you can be more productive? So the next tool we want to talk about is a tool for parenting. Now, what's really wild is this book, The Money Smart Family System, is really the story of a system that we designed for our kids. And what's crazy is in 1994, our son John was about
nine years old,
and we just finished coaching a family on their finances. We ran a financial counseling ministry at our church, and we had 17 volunteer counselors that we'd trained, and we worked with about 70 to 100 families a year. And this family had just left our house, and John comes up to us and says, Mom and Dad, when are you going to do financial coaching with me? And I'm going, wow. I didn't expect that. I thought he was just going to catch it. And we realized at that point that we weren't being proactive in using the tool of financial management that we had to pass the baton on to our kids. And so I started on a search to find a way to transfer those concepts to our kids. Now, I wasn't very good at it. I mean, it was like picking up a hammer for the first time and holding it like this. I couldn't hit anything. I tried, I don't want to pay you for doing chores. I mean, that's expected. You should do that. So what we'll do is I'm going to make 3 styrofoam cups, give, save, and spend, because I thought that would be a good place to start. And I put them on the window ledge in his bedroom. And whenever you get money, I want you to put money in those compartments. Well, he didn't get money very often. Maybe birthday, maybe Christmas. And one day I went in there and I said, let's see how much money you have, John. And I reached over and I knocked them all off the ledge and all the money fell out. I was a klutz with my tool. I had no idea how to use it. So I kept researching. I kept reading books. I read a book called Money Doesn't Grow on Trees. It told me that you should start by teaching your kids the names of the coins. Well, okay, that's pretty rudimentary. That doesn't teach them how to manage it, though. And it wasn't all that great a book. And then I came out upon this book called Three Steps to a Strong Family by Richard and Linda Ayers. And they had family traditions, and we had some of those. And they had family rules, and we had some of those. And then they had a third area, family economy. I'm going, wow, maybe I'm supposed to hold it like this. They paid their kids for doing things around the house. Expectations were clearly communicated. They outlined a system. The kids earned the money. They managed the money, and they paid for things themselves. So I took that tool, and I started using it. And I became an expert with it. I designed it. I made it better, I think, than they did. And now we've got this tool that we're using, the people around the country are using, and they're writing back saying, this thing is phenomenal. Our kids are learning to manage money. They're standing independent.
And really, if you think about it, paying your kids, having a system to link chores to earnings is really like the real world out there. Because when your kids leave your home someday, they get paid for how they perform. That is just the society that we live in. And the harder they work and the more excellent they work, the more they're going to get promoted. The more they're going to, their pay is going to increase. So simulating real world life in our home is a very important thing. So when people say, well, I shouldn't be paying my kids to be part of our family, we say take a bigger picture, because we are preparing them for life out in the outside world, and they have to get used to it. They have to achieve that. You know, we live in Scottsdale, which is a fairly affluent area of the country. And in where we live, it may not be as big of an issue where you live. I'm not sure, but so I need to share this. But where we live, not only is there pressure, there's peer pressure on the kids because, you know, what Sally has or what Joe has, and our kids see all these other families and what they have for their kids. And, of course, some of them are not as large as ours. And I have to say, but they have different values than we do. But there's also something that I call parent pressure. I mean, it goes beyond the peer pressure to where other parents are pressuring you to indulge your kids, to give your kids, to keep up with all that stuff going on. And it takes a lot of courage as parents to just be okay, be indifferent. And you have to say, you know what? That may work for you, but that doesn't really work for us.
So we developed this system called Money Smart Kids, and what was really wild is I came up with this idea, and I said, Annette, I think we need to do this. We need to get our kids on this payday system, and I'll build this point chart, and it didn't work. And it was a little pegboard, like I read in the book. And she said, look, I'm cooking the meals, I'm teaching the kids, I'm doing the laundry, you laid this egg, you hatch it. And you know, what was great is I don't even know what time it is right now. Actually, I'll look. Yeah, it's 9:44. I get into a project, and I become very myopic. I can focus on this, but nothing else exists in the world. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. Annette sees the big picture. She's my timekeeper, and I've learned that she's not a problem for me. She's actually my helper, and she's on my team. And so she set up the schedule, and every Sunday became payday. And what was wild is as we were consistent in applying this tool, our kids got incredibly enthusiastic about it. Every morning at breakfast, they'd fill out their little time card, and they'd get 4 points a day, and I would sign off on it. I'm the manager. I have to approve their time card. And then every Sunday, they'd take their envelopes. They had cash envelopes, give, save, and spend, and eventually they started buying their own clothes. And every Sunday, we paid them, weekly payday, and they had to put the money in their envelopes, reconcile their envelopes, and I checked them off. We counted the money. There was accountability. They learned percentages. They learned division. They learned all kinds of things about managing small amounts of money. And, you know, Scripture says, if you are faithful in little, you will be faithful in much. And we decided that this was a great way to start releasing some of our kids' inheritance, their future, to them in little increments so that by the time they leave our house, they would be able to be self-sufficient. This is Joe. Joe is 21 years old. He's paying for college himself. He has not borrowed a penny to do it. He's got one semester left. He's living on campus this semester, and they're actually paying him to go to school, $17,000 a year tuition plus $6,000 dorm fees, and he's paying for it himself. He still manages his money with the cash envelope system. He may change that in the next couple of weeks, because I said, Joe, are you okay having $2,000 in your dorm room with three other roommates? We need to talk about reality. It's something we're going to talk about in our session called Real Kids for the Real World, is 8 skills you need to give your kids before they head out, and they aren't learned in a textbook.
So we started our kids with 5 cents a point when they were little. You can start them at 3 years old just identifying the coins. At 5 years old is when they can actually start using a three-part bank.
So these are the rules we use.
Right. And at 8 years old is when they can start using the envelopes that you see on the PowerPoint, because they have to be able to do the basic math skills to be able to work those envelopes. Some of the rules for our system are that you have to inspect the chores that you expect the kids to do. You have to teach them and train them. You have to do the chores with them. And yes, when they're learning chores, it will take twice as long to accomplish at the beginning. But eventually, like right now, when we get ready for an event at our house and I make a list of things that need to be done, it's like we have three kids still living at home, but it's like we have five adults working to get this event pulled off. And it happens like clockwork, and it's so awesome.
What's really wild is we had some friends that we've known for 35 years, and this was years ago when our kids were younger, and these friends were moving. And they were just struggling through the move. It was going slow. They had three kids. They were a homeschooling family, too. And the Economides family rolls in, and we've got our five kids, and they know how to work. And we were just like, it was an
boxing
army of ants
up.
Coming in and getting things done. And they looked at us, and they said, "What just happened?" I said, "We came here. We came. We saw. We conquered." You know. But this is what happens when you build a team, when you have taught your kids how to work, and you lead them into battle. I mean, it's amazing what happens. The other thing we focused on in our system, and this permeates our family, is we've got to teach them to have good attitude. So if they did a job, but they had a crummy attitude, they didn't get paid for that. That's a real life principle, isn't it?
The other thing we wanted to teach them was initiative. So in our system, they can earn 4 points a day. One of them is a school point. Well, there's no school on Saturday. So on Saturday, they can only earn 3 points. So if they thought of something else to do, if they looked at our chore chart and they could come up with chores to earn 2 more points, they would get double pay. And that was an incentive that was building a drive in our kids to be excellent, to be thorough, to be careful, to have initiative. And you know what? All the jobs, the part-time jobs that our kids have gotten, our kids have been some of the best workers at those places. I'm sorry, I do need to brag on them for just a minute. I really do. And so, you know, if there's extra hours, they will call the kids, at our kids, to pick up extra shifts because they know our kids are workers. Our youngest daughter, Abby, the caboose, I mean, this is she taught herself to tie her own shoes. She potty trained herself. I mean, there were so many people using the potty, for heaven's sakes. You know, she just figured the whole thing out. She just watched what was going on around the house and figured it out. So, I mean, she is super organized, super high achiever, and at 19, she works at Michael's Arts and Crafts, and they were training her for management. She comes home, she goes, "Mom, they want to train me to be a manager." I'm like, "You can't be a manager. You're 19 years old." She says, "Well, they say I can, so they're training me." So
here's another story. Our son John, one of the chores we had was light bulb patrol. And so he would go around the house and check the light bulbs. Well, he's about 12 years old, and he's walking with the preschool director at our church down a hallway. And an hour or two later, he comes up. The preschool director comes up to Annette and says, "Your son just said the strangest thing to me. We were walking down the hallway, and we're just walking, talking." He says, "Well, you got a light bulb out up there," and we just kept walking.
And she said, "Why would your son say a thing like that?" I said, "Oh, because he's in charge of light bulb patrol at our house."
Now, that's when he was about 12. Fast forward, he's about 19 years old. He started volunteering at the church, running their soundboard. They ended up hiring him part-time. Then they ended up hiring him full-time. When he got hired part-time, he found the graveyard of the church where they had all the old tech equipment. He started selling that on eBay.
He made the church like $30,000. Selling old equipment.
And then he looked at the spotlights that they used. And this is a church. We started going there. There were 300 people. Then there were 7,000. I don't know how that happened. Anyway, so he's looking at the spotlights. And he goes, "Those things are expensive." He saw how much they were paying for them. He starts doing research. He was able to save them like $50 a light.
Per light bulb on eBay.
So what we teach them at home can translate into work, saving money for the kingdom. I mean, who knows where it can go? They become better than we will ever be as we train them. So that's some of the jewels that we saw. We saw that our kids had an attitude that if it works, if I can work, I can do it. And that means that it works at home. That means it works everywhere. They learn to work hard. They learn to be disciplined.
Careful.
One time, John, his first job was at a place where they collated things. It was a company that I used for my business, and he got a job there putting things together. It was piecework. And it said by the time clock, if you don't punch in, you don't get paid. Now, remember, we had a time card at our house, right? And he learned if he didn't fill out his time card, he doesn't get paid.
Well, one week he comes home and he goes, Mom, I can't get paid. I'm like, what? He goes, I didn't punch my time card. I forgot.
That one day.
I said, you go down there and talk to them about that. They should pay you. He goes, no, Mom. They have a rule. It says it right on the time card. If you don't clock in, you don't get paid. And that was a really valuable lesson for him. Our daughter, Becky, did. She went to a school, college, for an equestrian degree. She loves horses. And she interned. Part of her degree was an internship. And this one lady had a ranch near our house with beautiful cob horses. And after Becky was done with her internship, the lady said, will you please stay on? I would like you to come and be my riding buddy and help me exercise my horses on a regular basis. So instead of paying for riding lessons, now she gets to ride for free. And she doesn't even have to muck stalls, which is the cool part. I mean, she gets to groom horses and do exercise riding, and she can ride horses whenever she wants.
And next summer, if you ask her about it, ask her where she's going. I'll tell you. She's saving money to go to England because this gal buys horses in England, and she wants Becky to go with her, and it's going to cost her $3,000, but that's it. She's going to pay her way, go to England for, I think it's 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
Just because she's excellent at what she does.
So just
these
a couple
are the
of
jewels.
Right, a couple of quick stories. Okay, Roy, our son Roy was so good at Spanish, he was taking Spanish at the community college, that his teacher actually left the room and let Roy teach the class. He was 16 years old. And he was teaching the college Spanish class while his teacher had to go run and do something else. Our son Joe, when he was playing baseball at a Christian college near our home, he is so bright and so diligent with his studies that all the other athletes were falling behind, and they asked our son Joe to tutor them in their classes so they could keep up with their classes and play baseball. It goes on and on. As your kids get older and you teach them all these skills, it really has some amazing, amazing benefits.
So this is Abby. I think I showed this to some of you earlier. This is Abby when she was 9 years old, and she was learning to manage money, and she started accomplishing small goals a little bit at a time. She bought an American Girl doll for $60, took her 9 months to save for it. The kid's incredible. All of our kids have done this kind of stuff. This is her in one of her many gowns. She loves buying gowns and dancing and going to formals, and she paid $25 for this. She wore this on Montel Williams when we were on that show. And this is when she got her $10,000 scholarship to go to Grand Canyon University. And now she's paying for school. It costs her about $1,200 a year to go to school, and she's paying for that herself. Those are some of the jewels that we've seen from our parenting our kids. So here's the question. Life is full of systems. Life is full of tools. Life is full of things that we may not know how to use very well right now. And, you know, sometimes the prospect of learning how to use a new tool is overwhelming. If you get a new computer program, if you get a new smartphone, if you get a new television, and that says, you got me another computer. I don't want to learn to use this. So life is full of tools. These are things we do repetitively. What tools do you have that you could use better? That you could take and say, God, there's this area in my life that is a constant frustration. I'd love it to go away, but I know if you've got it in my life, it's here for a reason. And you love me, and you want me to be like Christ. And Jesus was a good carpenter. He learned to use his tools. Help me to learn to manage this one area. See, Annette, when we were first married, she was a typical teenager. Her mom cleaned the house. Annette went to the mall and spent money. She worked a job. She bought clothes. She didn't know how to manage a home. So when we were first married, we made a commitment that we'd live on one income, and I was earning $6.50 an hour. She wanted to stay home. People thought we were crazy. We had no debt. She stayed home, and she learned to manage our home.
And the plan was to wait 2 years to have children, and we waited 2 months. Some of you know how that goes. Some of you know how that goes.
So I would come home every day from work, and she was so intent on showing me that she was working hard, because I came home and I told her what I did at work. And so she had a list, and she'd say, I did this, 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 and this. She wanted to be excellent. She knew how to boil water and scrambled eggs. Those are the only two meals she knew how to cook when we got married. So every day around 3 o'clock, she'd call her mom up and say, Mom, I want to make this for dinner. How do I do it? Do you see what she's doing? She didn't know how to use the tool, but she made a commitment to learn. And at first, she didn't do it well. Now she has over 100 meals she can cook. She repeats things because we love them. There was a time when the only thing that was on sale for a particular week was Italian sausage, and she said, I need to stay within my budget. I'm going to find out how I can make this into something delicious besides Italian sausage and meat and pasta. And she discovered a recipe that we love to this day. So she had a focus to be excellent, and she did. She now goes grocery shopping once a month instead of two or three times a week. She's an amazing person, you know. Our kids do the same things. And so here's the challenge. If there's something in front of you that's overwhelming, let's tackle it. Let's take one area. Let's make a commitment to be an expert at it. Let's get counsel. Let's learn how from experts to build a mansion. And remember that a carpenter or a construction person who builds a mansion didn't start by building a 5,000 or 10,000 square foot house. He probably started by hammering a couple of boards together and didn't do a very good job at it. But through practice and diligence, we can learn to become experts. We can learn to use the tool by the rules and enjoy the jewels.
Thank you.